I'm grateful tonight to be able to share my story with you of how God has worked in my life. If you've been tuning into your church broadcast regularly, you'll know that my husband ends them with the same song. And there's a line in it that says, "Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of him." And that's my prayer tonight, that as you listen to my story, that you would see very little of me in it, but that you would see much of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has been so faithful. I was joking with my husband earlier that after so many weeks, he's begun to make this look easy. I can tell you as I stand here now, it's anything but. I feel extremely nervous. I would much rather be looking out into a sea of faces than looking into a camera lens. But I'm thankful for that verse that says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." And I'm trusting him now for his help as I share my story with you. I grew up in East Belfast. My younger sister Sarah and I were sent along faithfully to church every week. We attended church twice on a Sunday. We attended Sunday school and children's meetings, whatever was on. We were brought up in a Christian home. And I'm thankful that, like Timothy, I can say, from a child, I have known the Holy Scriptures. My earliest memory of going to church is going to the Iron Hall on Templemore Avenue. Then our family settled at Martyrs Memorial Free Presbyterian Church on the Ravenhill Road. And I'm thankful for a Bible-believing and a Bible-preaching church, for God's servants who were faithful in telling me the good news of the gospel. I knew from I was old enough to understand that God's word says that we are all born in sin, that I was a sinner. And I knew that the wages of sin was death. I knew that sin separated us from a holy and a pure God up in heaven. And I knew that the good news was that God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I knew I had a choice. I knew that I could accept this or that I could reject it. I'm sad to say that I did reject it. There were several times in my childhood where I remember being convicted of this. The majority of those times were whenever I was at Sunday school camp. Every year, from I was 7 years old, I was sent along to Sunday school camp for a week during the summer. And it was the highlight of the summer. I had so much fun. I just really enjoyed it. But as well as having fun, it was always a time whenever I knew God speaking to my heart. But sad to say, I can remember several times as a young teenager, sitting in meetings and wiping away tears. I knew that I needed to be saved, but there was always that little voice that would say, "You can do it another time, you can do it later. There's always again, there's always next year." Johnny's dad sang at the end of his testimony, "I'll get saved, but not tonight." Well, that was me. Whenever I was 15 years old, camp went to Scarborough. And during that week, Uncle Noel, who was the children's evangelist at Martyrs Memorial, he would always be the speaker at camp. And that week, he shared with the seniors in the evening, when we would come around God's word, he shared from the book of Ruth. And God really used that to speak to my heart. And on the Thursday evening, the last night of camp, as we went to bed, I put my head on my pillow and I could not sleep. I was petrified that if I closed my eyes and I fell asleep and I didn't wake up in the morning, that I knew I would go to a lost eternity. I knew that I would go to hell and its torments forever. Early the following morning, I got up before everybody else and got ready. I knew that Uncle Noel would be downstairs in the meeting room, that he would be reading and he would be praying. And I spoke to Noel. Noel took God's word and we read verses from the book of Romans in that morning. I prayed and I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my own and personal Savior. And I felt like the weight of the world had been lifted from off my shoulders. Romans 15:13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with joy and peace and believing." And that was exactly how I felt. I felt such joy and I knew that peace that passes all understanding. Uncle Noel said the first thing I should do was to go on to tell somebody, and I'm so glad that he made me do this. Mrs. Buchanan, who was camp's faithful cook, amongst many other things, and a wonderful godly lady, was in the kitchen that morning preparing breakfast, and I went in and I told her, "Mrs. Buchanan, I've got saved, I've become a Christian." And Mrs. Buchanan, I remember, gave me the biggest hug, and she said, "You'll never regret it." And I can honestly say, I never have regretted it. It's the best decision that I ever made. If there's anything I do regret, I only regret that I never did it sooner, just for the peace that I felt. As my news spread around camp, I also will never forget that one of the leaders who had known me for many years, whenever they heard that I'd gotten saved, said, "Jessica, darling, I thought you were already saved." And I don't say that to that person's shame or to embarrass them, but I say it as a warning. God's word says that man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. We can fill everyone around us. We can say the right things and we can do the right things, but God cannot be filled. Scripture says that there's a day of judgment coming, and that on that day when we stand before God, he will either say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," or, "Depart from me, ye cursed, I never knew you." God cannot be filled, and he knows our heart. Over the course of that summer, I turned 16 just after that camp, and I wanted to serve God in whatever way I could. There was no shortage of opportunities to do that at the Martyrs. There were children's meetings every night of the week except Thursday in different areas of Belfast, and there were three Sunday schools on Sunday. Well, I began to help on a bus route going around collecting boys and girls to help a worker. And I also assisted in Sunday school class, assisted the teacher teaching younger boys and girls. And as time progressed, I then took those roles on myself. I led a bus route and I taught a Sunday school class myself. And as time progressed, I began to think about my future. And I prayed that if God had someone for me, that they would be someone that wanted to be involved in these things too. That may sound like a funny thing to say or to pray, but I was conscious at that time that I didn't want to be in a relationship where I felt pulled away from serving God in this way. Well, Johnny finished university in Scotland, and he came back to Northern Ireland, and he came to Belfast for work. And when he did, he began coming to the Martyrs. And Johnny just got involved in everything. If there was something on at church he was at, he wanted to be involved in whatever he could. He likes to joke that it was me who asked him out. One Friday night, shortly after he came, we were sitting after youth fellowship in the Friday evening, and we were talking about the following Saturday night, all going out for bowling and for Chinese. And Johnny was sitting, and I thought, wow, maybe he doesn't have any plans, or he would be sitting at home by himself. And I thought it was a little bit rude, all of us sitting chatting about this, no one had invited him. So I decided I would show myself friendly, and I would ask Johnny if he would like to come along. And so he likes to tell people that it was me who asked him out first. Well, we were married a couple of years later in December 2006. And about a year after that, we began to feel God work in our hearts and stir our nest. F.B. Meyer says, "When we want to know God's will, there are three things which always occur: the inward impulse, the word of God, and the trend of circumstances." I can say in our case, this is how we felt his will being made known to us. Johnny went to Poland in January 2008 on a mission trip. And at that time, I didn't have any leave left in work, and I was very disappointed not to be able to go on the trip. And as I look back now, I can see a reason for that. I can see God's hand in it. Over the next several months, it seemed that so many of the messages that we sat under and talked about stepping out of our comfort zones, doing more for God, being willing and submissive. Uncle Noel, whose ministry I had been saved under, went to the Philippines as a missionary several years previously. And he came home at this stage during these several months, and he spoke so passionately about the harvest, the fields that were white on the harvest, and about the wrong and sitting back and believing that others would go and that we should fill the gap. At the culmination of these months, Pastor Clarence Sexton and the Crown College Choir from Tennessee came and toured the United Kingdom. And during this time, they spent a weekend in Northern Ireland. On the Sunday morning, they came to the Martyrs and took our service there. And on Sunday evening, we travelled to the youth rally in Randallstown Free Presbyterian Church to hear Pastor Sexton and the choir again in another service. And those meetings were really powerful. Pastor Sexton emphasised each Christian's responsibility to share the gospel to the generation coming behind. And he said that if we didn't, that we couldn't look and blame others, but that the blame was our own. Now, as we travelled home that night, we had the choir CD playing in the car. And the words of the song began to play, "I'd rather have Jesus." And as I listened to those words, God really, he broke me. And I turned to Johnny with tears in my eyes as we were driving home from that youth rally. And I said, "I really feel that God has something more that he wants us to do for us, that he has a different plan for our future. And, you know, without even pausing, but with a big smile on his face, Johnny turned to me and he began to relay the story of how God had called him to full-time service whenever he was on the mission trip in Poland. But he had prayed that if it was truly God's will, that I would be the one to say to him, without him ever mentioning anything to me, that we would be of one mind. You know, God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform, and that was a special time. What lay ahead of us was a huge step of faith. We had a home with a mortgage. I was in the process of studying to qualify as an accounting technician. Johnny often talks in church about a life verse, a verse that has such profound personal meaning that we can take it and claim it as our own. And when we began dating, we made it a practice to read and to pray together. And early on, we claimed Psalm 37, verse 5 as ours, and says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." And we felt led to apply to Crown College in Tennessee, and now more than ever, we would stand in that verse, and God really gave us such a peace. As we began to make plans to go to Tennessee in August 2008, we saw God provide for our every need in such special ways and in his perfect timing. As we were going there, we had to apply for student visas, and we had 15 conditions that we had to meet, and God was so good in undertaking, and we got all of our paperwork together, and as we had all of that prepared, we came home one evening from work. And we phoned the American Embassy to arrange an interview to go and present our paperwork and to try and get our visas. And as we did that, we phoned that evening, and the embassy said that their booking system was down that night. They said that we could email the following morning requesting an interview time. But what they did say that evening as we were on the phone was that there was a big backlog, there was a long waiting list, and that the earliest we could get an interview would be the middle of July. We needed to be in Tennessee for the beginning of August, and the stipulation was that we could not book our flights until we had our student visas. And of course, we thought that this would be cutting it very fine, that we would struggle to get everything together and to get everything done in time, especially if there was any errors or anything wrong with our paperwork. And so that night we really did have to commit our way onto the Lord, and we had to trust him to bring these things to pass. And the following morning, Johnny got into work at 8:30, and he emailed the embassy requesting an interview. And before 9 o'clock, an email came back saying that they had just received a cancellation and that if we were willing and we were able, we could come first thing the following morning for our interview. And God just undertook. And then Psalm 138, it says, "The Lord will perfect that thing which concerneth me." We were so blessed as we saw God dovetail all of these things together in his perfect will for us. Tennessee was like a home from home for us. We attended Crown College, which is a ministry of Temple Baptist Church. We arrived with a few suitcases, but we left with hearts full of thankfulness for the miraculous ways God provided for our every need while we were there, thankful for wonderful friends that he gave us to enjoy the journey with, and thankful for special families that we grew to love. Two families, the Gages and the Sherrods, showed us kindness that we could never repay. We spent Christmases and Thanksgiving with them, and they really made us feel like part of their families. In fact, it was the Gages who took us in. We lived in a trailer in their property rent-free for the time that we were in Tennessee. Initially, when we had arrived in Tennessee, we began renting a small house a few miles from the church. And God knew that we could just not sustain this long term. He knew exactly what we needed, and this was such a huge blessing, and that the Gages did this for us. And, you know, they gave sacrificially of their time and of their talents and of their treasures, and they did it all as unto the Lord. They had children who had been through Bible college or who were going through Bible college themselves, and they just wanted to be a blessing. Pastor Sexton often talked of investing in eternity, and this is what he meant, investing personally in people. We never wanted for anything when we were in Tennessee. God provided for our every need as they arose. 1 week, we got to Friday, and we only had $20 between us, and we needed fuel or gas in our car, as they say over there, and we had no food in our cupboards. And on Saturdays, we were involved in ministries at the church, and of course, we had to get to church on Sunday. Well, we lived about 17 miles from the church, and so we had to decide what to do, and we used the money that we had to put fuel into the car, and we just prayed and trusted God. And on Saturday morning, we went into the church. We were involved in bus visitation ministry, as it was called, and we went in there, and before that, we would have what was known as bus breakfast. The church would provide breakfast, and we would all sit and eat together and have a time of fellowship before going out in visitation. Well, that was one meal provided for. After visitation, a couple asked us if we would like to come out with them for lunch, and we were so grateful. We just felt really blessed. And over the course of that weekend, we were asked out or invited over to people's homes for our lunch and for our dinner. We didn't have to provide one meal for ourselves that weekend. You know, God in heaven knew exactly what we needed. No one else knew that we had spent the last money that we had and that we didn't have anything in our cupboards, but God knew exactly what we needed. God in heaven, who cares for the sparrows, knows all of our needs. And you know, we have failed him many times, and we will fail him yet, but he has never failed us because he is faithful that promised. We left Tennessee, and just as we had felt led to go there, we then felt led to go to Birmingham, England. Crown College had an extension work in Birmingham. They had been asked to reopen a Baptist church which had closed, known as Beaches Road Baptist Chapel. And when they did that, they opened a college facility nearby. The purpose of this facility was that students could come from America and they could study for a term in England. They could keep up their studies, but they could also experience ministering in a different culture. Johnny and I were asked to go and to take charge of the college facility and to assist in the pastoral ministry at the church there. We had already spent a term here during 2010 when we came back to the United Kingdom for our oldest son, Josiah, to be born. So we knew the runnings of the work there. And the famous hymn says, "Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me." The same God who had taken care of us in Northern Ireland and in Tennessee would once again take care of us in England. Shortly after we arrived in Birmingham, our family increased to four as our second son Jacob was born, and we lived at the top of a large farmhouse, which was the college facility. We could share that farmhouse at any time with up to 16 American students. And the boys loved having so many playmates, and the family atmosphere would put students who were far from home and far from what they knew at ease. Caring for the students was a huge responsibility, but an even bigger privilege. This involved everything from coordinating their study and their ministry schedules to cooking for everyone. As we poured our heart into making their time in England profitable, we were grateful for the opportunity that we now had to invest in eternity. Many of these young people have gone on to become pastors and church leaders in America, to be teachers. Some of them are missionaries in China. Some of them have returned to England to be missionaries. And we knew that while these young people were in England, that we set the tone for the duration of their stay. Our attitude, our enthusiasm, our lack of it, our work ethic, discipline, all of these things we had to pray daily and ask God to keep right. The Crown College motto is take the high road. This is not choosing between what is good and what is bad, but it's choosing between what is good and what is best, because God deserves our very best in everything. And we had to rely on God for the strength to give our best consistently as we shared our home with these young people. God delights to use weak vessels, and that is exactly what we were. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything is of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." And we were daily reminded of this. After several years in Birmingham, we come back to Northern Ireland. We believed that was God's will for us, and we had the privilege of serving in Grove Baptist in East Belfast. And during this time, our third son, Joseph, arrived. We have many happy memories of special times there, the people we were able to meet and serve with. It was shortly after Joseph's birth that Johnny accepted the call here to Grange Baptist. There's so much more I could share, wonderful things that we had the opportunity to experience and to be involved in, and wonderful stories of God's faithfulness. But tonight, as I close, I've asked Johnny if we could break with tradition a little. While we were in Tennessee, I had the opportunity to sing in the Crown College Choir, and we sang so many beautiful songs, but I've asked Johnny if we could close the broadcast tonight with a song called Almighty Unchangeable God. I hope you'll take the time to listen to it and let the words speak to your heart. It speaks of God's majesty and power, how he created the starry host and how he formed the earth at his command. Yet he loves us. The God of the entire universe loves you, and he loves me with an everlasting love. It's a love that is able to save you from your sin tonight, but it's also a love that is able to lead and guide you and meet you at the very point of your need on the Christian pathway of life. I'm not afraid to lay my head down on my pillow at night anymore, because I know for sure that I have a home in heaven. I know that peace that passes all understanding, and it's my prayer that you would know that assurance too before it would be too late.